All right, what do you guys think of The Dark Mark? And who do you think conjured it?
There's so many options. I was thinking Wormtail, right? But then I was thinking he wasn't allowed to leave Voldemort, so maybe that isn't the greatest theory either. I do kind of feel like it may be someone at the Quidditch match. And I think, I mean, earlier we were talking about Bagman and Crouch. I want it to be Crouch because I don't like him.
Yeah. He really is not a very likable character in this.
No. And then I feel really bad for Winky. I don't know if she, maybe she is dark. I think you may have mentioned
I'm
that.
I'm just skeptical of her.
Yeah.
You know, just a little.
But I don't think, I don't know. Crouch, I feel like he acted guilty when he was like being questioned and like kind of overplaying it when they were caught Winky. What? Yeah. Why are you laughing?
No, because he did. He's like, me and Harry are the only two innocent people here. Like, however he worded it. He's like, we are equally innocent. It was just some funny thing that he compared himself to Harry. I was like, what are you doing? It made him look more guilty.
Because he's safe. Harry's safe. So
he's like, in a way, he's like Lockhart, but the opposite, where Lockhart thought he was more important than Harry. He's like, oh, Harry, you'll soon catch up to me and my fame. I think Crouch is attracted to his fame, and he realizes Harry is more famous than him. So he's like, I'm just on his level. I'm like almost pretty good. Where he's like a little under, but it's interesting, too, that you guys are mentioning about whether Winky... Do you think Winky has... Do you think there's such a thing as dark elves?
Yes.
Like dark house elves?
I kind of think so. Well, house elves, I don't know. But dark elves, yes. Again, it's easy to conflate different fantasy things. But there are like goblins and there are these house elves. And I feel like they're in the same vein. And so I'm kind of thinking it would make a lot of sense for there to be dark elves. Or elves are dynamic enough that... they can be good or evil, you know? They're not just stuck doing what their master tells them to do. There's a strong pull in that direction, but even if that is the case, if a house elf is willing to do something bad that a bad person would tell them to do, then I think that kind of makes them dark. Or they are lower on the sentience scale, and so we can't hold them responsible. They're, you know, if their master tells them
it
to do something.
It seems like they have the choice, though.
It does.
And they can be freed. Yep. So, you know, if
so
they're under like an order, they're kind of conflicted. But if they are free, we see that with Dobby.
Yeah.
I think it's a possibility.
Yeah, I think it seems like they could be dark. And maybe Winky's our first dark elf we've met.
Yeah.
I know, but then she says, like, there's a quote where she says, like, something like they're... Yeah. So I guess the way I took Winky talking about, like, there are bad wizards about, she squealed. Just... Just Wes, like that.
Sorry.
Distractingly as she leaned forward and labored to keep running people high, high in the air, Winky is getting out of the way. I guess to me, I read that and I thought like she was warning people about like dark with the dark wizards or bad wizards, I should say. So I guess I automatically went, oh, she's good because she's warning Harry and Hermione and Ron like... that there's bad wizards out here and like be careful.
Yeah, that's how I read it too.
If there's some kind of hierarchy in the wizarding system, do you think that wizards are on top? Like out of all the creatures that we've seen so far, would you say any creature is above wizarding? Or is that maybe just a strange, weird way to put it? Because I remember you mentioned a while ago that you actually think house elves magic is greater than some wizards.
Yeah, I kind of think it is, but I think wizards, classic human thing, I think they're out like, in a sense, like colonizing these other, you know, species. I do think there are probably species that are more powerful than human wizards. House elves probably more powerful, but they're still kind of trapped with human rules, wizard rules. There was the goblin uprising, so someone was suppressing them.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what book that was mentioned. It was a long time ago, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like that's kind of a theme in actual history of like people with perceived power suppressing other people. And I feel like that's kind of classic wizard thing too. They're creating rules. House elves cannot use wands. Why not? And what gives you the right to restrict them? Nice move, Wes.
Dump the water out.
So it just feels weird to me. I don't like the dynamic, and it's making me like question the Ministry of Magic. And I'm wondering if there are other more free areas, like wherever the magic carpet area is, or however many other areas there might be with different jurisdictions. Are there some that have less restrictions, and house elves maybe aren't even a thing, and other creatures can hold wands and do other things? Of the creatures we've met, I don't view any as being more powerful or more in control than wizards, but the meeting the centaurs made me think that for a brief moment, where I was like, huh, it feels like they're on a different plane.
Yeah.
They're looking at the stars. They're like prophesying a little bit. Like that almost made it feel like they were untouchable. They were like the oracles that wizards actually respect. But then by the end, it kind of felt like they were being a little silly. And I was like, oh, maybe they aren't better. So I'm not really sure to answer your question, but I think wizards are perceived as being on top, but they're not really.
I feel like they've placed themselves at the top.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like,
and with other beings, I think there's battles that happen. Like there's goblin rebellions. So I'm sure goblins probably think they're on top.
Hmm.
But it seems to me that there's either good or bad in every creature. So like we're saying Winky has cast the dark mark.
No, I'm not saying that.
Well, I think there it's probably thrown out there. Even in these chapters, Winky is the main suspect in casting the dark mark.
Yeah.
They don't think she did, and then she has the wand, so they're like, maybe she does. And then Barty Crouch is like, don't worry, she's my house elf. I'll go and
and they just accept
ask questions.
It.
And
yeah, no like, conflict of interest here.
Yeah.
And everyone like, just agrees with it.
I know.
And it's also weird to me, that whole dynamic, because they think Winky did it. So clearly, house elves have the ability to do things on their own, separate from what their masters command. Or they would have immediately locked up Crouch too, and said, she did it, means you told her to.
Yep.
Lock them up, question them both, figure this out. But they didn't. So,
because that looks bad.
What? It looks
bad
for
the Ministry of Magic and the public.
True. Yeah.
For a journalist to get her hands on that.
That is true. That's a great dynamic. I don't know.
I guess you could privately do it without anyone knowing.
Well, also, but like 20 wizards or something?
Yeah.
I'm like, they want justice or not? The 20 that showed up. Like, if they actually think Crouch is it, I think Amos Diggory would have stepped up and been like, oh, your house elf did it, Crouch, lock him
up.
But
then also they're all like in it so much that like you wouldn't suspect like your coworker, like, oh, they're such a great guy, stand-up guy, that whatever he's saying is probably true, so I'll just go with that.
And maybe that's again to the whole like house elf thing. It's easier for them to believe that a house elf rebelled against their nature and broke rules and, you know, whatever, than it is to believe that Crouch would do something bad.
Yeah.
They're like, it's almost like they're happy to have this elf scapegoat.
Yeah.
Than trying to like do the real detective work and figure it out.
I think some of them fear Crouch too. I think when he started asking questions and Amos Diggory kind of went at him a little bit, and Crouch got really defensive, saying, you're accusing the two most people least likely to do it. Amos just backed off because I think he was scared of Crouch a little bit.
Yeah.
To the point where this was an interesting one. Maybe this will up our trust of Dumbledore, I think, but doesn't seem like there's any clear leadership in this group right now. There's 20 of these people who are like stormtroopers because they can't hit three kids that are standing in the middle of a circle with any other stunning spells at all. Yep. Missed all of them. They're bouncing off everywhere. And then you throw Dumbledore in this situation and the whole issue will be solved in like 20 minutes. Dumbledore will know what to do. Yeah. Everyone will respect him to a degree where they will just get out of his way and let him work. And you don't see that in any avenue with any of these other guys right now. So it makes them all suspicious. Like even Amos Diggory, like he might be to me one of the least suspicious in this, but he's still not completely free of any suspicion.
I questioned him for a second. Because can we go into this?
Yeah.
When he pulled the wand.
Yeah.
I was like, I mean, did he take it from Winky or did he have it? Because we saw no proof that Winky was holding the
wand.
That's
a great point.
But then, I mean, Winky kind of confess.
Oh yeah, she was like mention it, right? But yeah.
At first, I was like, I don't know.
Mm.
Like you said, I don't trust anyone right
now. I know.
Yeah,
I don't.
There's so many suspects.
Ludo Bagman is still top of my list.
Yes. Okay.
Well, when reading. Oh yeah, because that was your original question. Like who I think did it? Dark Mark. Blah blah blah. Ludo Bagman, top of my list, because he was suspicious that he was there to begin with. Was he running from the riots, or was he there to send up the Dark Mark? Then he apparates away. Harry, Ron, and Hermione see that. They hear the pop. He's gone. But he might have just apparated 20 feet behind a tree and then, you know, thrown the mark up. Or he could have just come back. But even when I read it, I didn't think he did it. That wasn't like my initial instinct. I felt like someone we didn't meet yet had done it.
Hmm.
But if it's someone we met, I think he's the most likely culprit.
Hmm.
He's top of my
suspicious.
List. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I forgot too. I sometimes thought of Lucius Malfoy, right? That's Draco's dad.
Yeah.
Right? Because he also went up to the seating area, the special seating area. He was the special guest of Bagman, was it?
Yeah.
Or Crouch?
That sounds right. And so, Bagman also is the one who got the tickets for Mr. Weasley.
Right. So maybe they're in cahoots together too, where it's like, let's bring up the Potters.
He's the only one.
And
really
then Lucius Malfoy,
elves.
You can't, what?
He's the only one we know who's really associated with House Elves. He had Dobby. So maybe he got like a second on Winky.
Yeah. There's just like so many things I can think of that I'm like, who took Harry's wand? Because it was someone up there. Mm. Like, I came by. So Lucius Malfoy or Bagman or... I don't think it was Winky.
What if... Well, I'm just like spitballing on some House Elf things because we know... House elves are associated with houses. Sometimes a house is bought or sold and the house elf comes with it. And we do know that there's a mysterious person who bought a large house for tax purposes. So what if Winky was the house elf there at that house? So now Voldemort goes back to this house. Maybe that house was Crouch's all along. And so Crouch is the one who bought it. And Winky became his house elf when he bought it. And he's associated with Voldemort. So then Voldemort says, hey, Dark Mark, do this, blah, blah, blah. Maybe that's how he got Winky. Maybe it was never for tax reasons. It was for house elf reasons. Again, makes that means Crouch would be guilty. Or Crouch wasn't the buyer at all. It was just Voldemort. And, you know, he was able to buy it from a distance for tax purposes. And then he had Winky doing his dirty work for a little bit.
Or Lucius Malfoy.
Or lent out to Crouch for a while. Or Lucius, yeah.
Because he has money. Yeah. So same people.
The same people, yeah.
House elves really are just out there doing dirty work for wizards. Just
who?
House elves are just doing dirty work for wizards half the time.
And Dobby still is confusing that he could even go to Harry to begin with, because we're led to believe, at least at this point, that that was of his own free will to protect Harry. And I'm like, well, that's kind of odd. Does he have to listen to his master or not? And is it only explicit commands he has to listen to or general vibes? Because there's no way the Malfoys are down with him going over to Privet Drive and warning Harry not to go to school. Mm. And not only is he warning him verbally, he is like actively intercepting mail and interfering with Harry's life. And there's still a little chance that that was all under the command of the Malfoys.
Yeah.
So I'm still stuck on, can house elves do their own thing? Or are they trapped to the commands of their masters?
I think a little bit, that's a great question. I think a little of both. I think Dobby's maybe an exception, but.
Yeah, he does seem like a unique one.
All this is funny though. Matt, remember our first podcast where our intro was like 20 seconds? Now our intro is like,
intro
40 minutes. Our 10 minutes.
Oh,
but let me introduce this. Welcome to the podcast. I'm John.
Jen.
Danny.
And Kristen.
And this is Harry Potter and the First Time Readers. As usual, give us a rating and review. It's interesting. 70% of our listeners are listening on Spotify, and you cannot give reviews on Spotify, unfortunately. So just throw it on a rating. We're doing great on Spotify. We are 5 stars all the way with like 25 ratings, which is really, really cool. So thank you so much for rating it. Keep on giving us good ratings and reviews so we can get this podcast out to more people. Also, join our subreddit, r/firsttimereaders, where we are having so much fun discussing all sorts of things. You guys are even throwing some stuff out there that I can bring up in future podcasts that I cannot wait to talk to the group about. So go on r/firsttimereaders, join our subreddit. We have a Twitter that we're kind of using. We're not really using it that much, but it's firsttimereaders. We have a Gmail account, firsttimereaders@gmail.com. We have a bunch of bookmarks that were misprinted, and I think the company is just going to let me keep them, and they're going to refund me. So if you want a misprinted bookmark, email us on that, firsttimereaders@gmail.com, and send me your address, and I will mail out some bookmarks for you so that you can even like go into your own bookstore too and throw them in. It won't really make any sense because there's just glasses on the front and the back, but it's still kind of be fun, a little mystery to it. But when we actually get our bookmarks printed right, we will send out some for anybody who wants them. And you guys can put them in bookstores and put them in Harry Potter books so that when someone is reading it for the first time, they can tune along in the podcast and they can kind of track their Harry Potter journey through the podcast with us. Thanks so much for listening. This is just becoming more and more fun for me every single day that I do it. And I think the whole group is having a lot of fun reading Harry Potter. This book is so magical. And yeah, just follow us on social. Rate us and review us, and enjoy these next few chapters of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
I didn't know that was our intro.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, right. So, right. Because we're like talking about so much.
We just kind of like wherever we want to break off, just real quick. Just we'll intro it. Even 10, 15 minutes into the podcast. Okay. The Dark Mark. Give me a very quick summary of the Dark Mark chapter.
Did you have one?
No. It's all you.
Do you want to do it?
I got nothing.
I feel like you guys are hate giving summaries.
We'll just each do a sentence.
The excitement of Ireland's win wears off quickly as everyone is ripped from their sleep. A group of masked people are levitating the muggle, Mr. Roberts, and his family. The trio run into the woods for safety. And I put in quotes, good idea, ? And end up witnessing the conjuring of the Dark Mark. Crouch's elf is found at the scene, clutching Harry's wand. Who conjured the Dark Mark?
Excellent. Chapter opens up. Get up, Ron, Harry, come on now. Get up, this is urgent. Harry sat up quickly and the top of his head hit canvas. What's the matter, he said dimly. He could tell that something was wrong. The noises in the campsite had changed. The singing had stopped. He could hear screams and the sound of people running. Here's the first question for you guys. Have you guys ever been in a situation somewhat similar to this, like a riot or something, some kind of really scary situation?
Danny, what was your story? Right.
So plenty of random riot situations, you know, growing energy. When things are going bad, people get real selfish. They no longer care about other people around them. So once upon a time, I was in Spain. And I was doing the running with the bulls. So line up early. We get there. We're sitting in line. Everyone's kind of like, these bulls are going to get funneled from the one spot about a mile up, blah, blah, blah. Bulls are faster than us. You got to outrun them. So everyone's feeling, you know, joyful. There's like happy music is playing. And it's the Festival of St. Firmin. So everyone there with their kids, they're all like celebrating, dancing, drinking wine, blah, blah, blah. And all of the people dressed in their white with their red are in this like little pathway of the bulls. So it was all fun. You hear a rocket go off and that tells you the bulls are released. So all of a sudden, like the tone starts to shift. And then you hear another rocket that goes off when the last bull has left the pen. There's 6 of them. So you know they're on the way. And I'm like standing there like, all right, well, they're coming my way. Now what do I do? And then you start to feel that you're alone. You feel like a big group before, but then all of a sudden you're like, oh, these people are not my friends. They will trample me to survive. So, you know, we start shuffling in the direction of the end of this run, which is this whole arena where they do like bullfighting and blah, blah, blah.
Has anyone died in the running to the bulls?
Yeah, but they've been keeping records for like 100 years and only like 16 people have died.
What, I mean, every, what if you were the one?
But here's the thing. The festival is a week long. it might even be 8 days, and they do a running every morning. Every year they're doing like 7 or 8 runs. That's a decent amount. And sure, every day someone gets a concussion or gets gored. But gored just means like impaled by the horns. It doesn't mean you die. You know what I mean?
Only. I will never go.
In comparison to death, I mean, you know, it's like. It's, you know, but still, a bull coming at you is no joke. Then all of a sudden, like, you're going down this like path, and all these houses, they're right up at the sidewalk, and they're like 3 stories tall, balconies. Kids are out there with their streamers and like throwing confetti and all that stuff. And then you just feel like a big tone shift where it was cheers, and then it turns to screams. Like, even the people up on the balconies are screaming in horror as they see the bulls come racing around this thing. I had just gotten around Dead Man's Curve, and it's called that for a reason. And I'm walking the like kind of final stretch. I've got a quarter mile left, and I'm like, okay. So this tone shift, all of a sudden, everyone's just every man for himself. So you get pushed. Some guy's running. He just like knocks you to the side, like in hockey. You're getting checked into walls. Oh, and then gracious. The houses end, and there's just the section of... like fences, and they've got huge fences, but you have to either get under them or climb over them. But again, it's every man for himself. So at every fence is like 3 or 4 people deep, and people are crawling over each other.
My gosh.
So then I'm just the stupid tourist who doesn't know anything. So I'm just kind of like trapped at the side. And then I look back and I see above people's heads, the shoulders of these bulls. These bulls are gigantic. And so the tone had already shifted, because it starts to feel like, to bring it back to Harry Potter, like a riot. Like, these people are now more dangerous than the bulls. I'm afraid some dude's going to shove me in front of the bulls just to get out of here.
You're going to be number 18.
Literally, yeah. I'm like, I'm going to be the stat here, the stupid tourist. I just remember like going against this like wall where some of the people were by this fence and getting as skinny as I could. And then the first bull comes by, and all these people are not letting me in because they're trying to survive too. And it felt like the horn was so close I could touch it. It could have been 6 feet away, but way closer than I want to be to a bull. So it goes by. And as soon as it went by, I had this moment of relief. Like, I didn't die. But then I realized there were 5 more behind it. But there was like a gap. And I'm like, it's my only shot. So I jump out, and I've never run so fast in my life. It was like an out-of-body experience. So I like run all the way in, make it into the arena. I felt like a gladiator. I hit the sand, sun on my face. It was a whole thing. But the point is, at the end of that, my faith in humanity was questioned.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was like, every person here would have happily shoved me in front of a bull to survive. So feeling the shift in energy, that's what a riot, you know, it reminds me of, like, things felt a little different.
Yeah.
We were all having fun at the World Cup, and all of a sudden, lives are at stake.
Yeah.
And it shifts like that, and you can feel it in the air. It's like tangible.
Yes.
That's kind of scary.
Interesting.
That is I know. Scary. None of mine are that serious, but mine are all sports related. Where it's like people will get in fights after a sport because of a sporting event, because of maybe a bad call or something like that. And I had one where I was a ref in intramural soccer, and there was fist fights going on that I had to break up. But I remember another one that even sparked my memory, where it was like a football game. It was like a pickup football game. And there was two people that were just going at each other. And it got to the point where one of them like kind of tackled the other and threw him down in like 2-hand touch or a flag football or something like that. And he got so mad, he started throwing punches. And this was like a observation for me about how if you have someone who has commands respect in a room, then you can get out of these situations easy. Like, to me, if Dumbledore was at this situation, his superior ability to do magic would have just completely eradicated these things. Like, if you have someone who's a superior magician, and again, I think it's only Dumbledore in this case, because he's the only one that Lord Voldemort feared, so no one else could do it besides him.
Yeah.
But I remember in this football situation, these two guys were going at it, and both of the teams were going at it and starting to like try to pull each other away, and like starting to, it wasn't like the worst fight I've ever seen, but I'll speak high of my brother right here. He was like, he's like an incredible athlete, like probably the best athlete in my family, probably the best athlete in the group, but he just has like a commanding presence about him sometimes when he plays sports like that, because everyone just respects him from both teams. And he just stepped in the middle and just like pulled both of the guys aside, like superhuman strength, like
pulled
them at will. And both of them immediately shut down. and they like were trying to apologize to my brother about this kind of stuff. And he was like, you get over there, you get over there. And they immediately did what he did. He wanted them to do. And they like both split and he like talked to both of them individually. And then we played football after that. Shockingly, because they were okay with it. I was like, if you have a good leader in those situations and you're good.
That's impressive.
But anyway, it's like nothing close, but if you're in a bad riot situation, it's every man for himself, every woman for himself. It doesn't matter. You don't care. You're trying to survive. Survival instincts. Terrifying.
Well, since I'm not a guy, I have no story like that.
I don't know if
your Grand Conqueror story a while ago is still terrifying to me. Late at night when you're just chilling there and all of a sudden like there's guys, taxi cabs coming, you can could have got abducted. That is like it might not be a riot situation, but it's still a terrifying situation.
Well, yeah. I will never forget that. And that feeling terrifying. Too. You're who's safe? That's the thing.
Yeah.
So I guess in like this thing, it's like you don't know who is safe.
Yes. That's a great observation.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And it feels like again that chaos, like everyone just was split up. Like these girls from the French school are looking for their teacher. Like who was supervising them? Mm-hmm. Were they in their own tent? How'd they end up in the woods? But it, like in these situations, nobody's like really prepared for it. So that everyone just kind of does their own thing. Everyone reacts differently. And then people are separated. Even Mr. Weasley. I'm not sure it was the right move for him to go off on his own. I don't know. Maybe he accomplished great things in that. But I feel like they should have stuck together. And then even Harry, Ron, and Hermione trying to stick together. And they got separated from their group.
Yeah.
So that kind of chaos. All of a sudden, they're like, we are totally lost. We did not expect this. We don't know what we're doing.
It does make me think too, and this is I don't know how I feel about this. Sometimes I think maybe this is a little extreme, but we're in the middle of the Ukrainian war right now, and there was a time when, and it fluctuates like month to month, where you're like, this guy could launch nukes at any moment. So I remember I had to text my family, and I was like, hey guys, look, if there's a nuke launched and we're in like any kind of radius or blast zone, this is the meeting place. We're going to meet here. We're going to figure things out. We're not going to move until we're all together. If we're not all together within like 48 hours and we know something has happened and we either have to look for the other person or we all have to leave immediately. So it's like you have to have plans for actions around that kind of stuff. And with this plan for action, I kind of respect Mr. Weasley to leave and try to go solve the situation. But he didn't have a good plan for the kids. He essentially just told the kids, he's like, you stick together, and he's out. He should have been like, stick together.
Right.
You guys need to get here.
Yeah.
If you're not all there together, you need to send up red sparks so you know where to go. You know, like do all this stuff, like really create,
because
this is your family. I mean, this is who you protect. I know you're trying to do your job, but your family should come first over your job, you know?
Yep.
So I don't know. I think he needs to do a little bit better of a job of fixing that in this riot situation. What do you guys think of the masked people? The Death Eaters.
Oh,
so
Death Eaters,
so we find their cult. And in your mind's eye, because you don't know what these people look like yet in the movies, because you haven't seen the movies, what do they look like? What kind of masks are they wearing?
I kind of picture them as almost like blank masks. I don't know why, like literally blank, like a fencing mask.
Yeah.
Like nothing on them, just like, I don't know why.
I probably should have
imagined a face or something, but
it's a little terrifying.
I didn't picture a face.
It's like no face.
I'm just picturing like the KKK walking.
That's kind of what I imagine too, like the dark hooded figures rather than white hooded figures.
Right.
Jen, what do you picture?
All I'm picturing is the hands made tails. I'm like with their red.
It's terrifying.
Hooded outfits, which I don't even know why that came up, but I'm like. It says black right there in black.
Yeah,
so it wouldn't even be. But
are there faces? I haven't seen that.
They're not even covered. I just don't know why. Like the thought of something like horrific that, because they're like slate. I don't know. That show is crazy, creepy. But they're like enslaved basically and wearing these like red hooded. Well, it's more like a pilgrim hat type thing. Yeah, like a bonnet, I guess. Yeah. But I don't know. That's the only thing that came a little random.
It is terrifying how different shows portray people like that. Like I'm thinking of, have you any of you seen The Village? I hate that movie.
Oh yeah.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
But like the creatures
in
that.
Pig?
Yeah.
That's why I also picture that too.
They look so creepy like that.
or the
illustrated,
saw.
Yeah, I'll show you guys the illustrated versions later. They're actually kind of interesting.
Oh, but, nice. They have
different masks for every person. It's kind of interesting. It's good.
Oh.
But there's all sorts of
that
terror
would be interesting,
in
though, then, because then everyone knows who's who, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, that is
under the mask. Under the mask, you can recognize them, which is a really good point. Which is, I love who? That he illustrated it like that.
Huh. Hmm. Is it their Patronus?
Whoa.
In an evil form. Dun, dun, dun.
Hold on. This is a fascinating
Patronus
question.
Evil one fight.
Do you think someone evil can really truly conjure a Patronus?
Ooh.
Oh.
I thought everyone had one, but then I know it takes a lot of power, right?
Yeah.
Or certain happiness. People cannot do. Yeah, but you could be, if you're that evil, you could be happy.
I was going to say, you're happy about the bad things you
Yeah. Yeah.
And then are they evil Patronuses?
Oh, yeah. Is it actual happiness or is it all compensating for childhood trauma?
You just said pure happiness. I don't know, like,
Because that would be the question, if it would actually be happiness or if it's, we should qualify that as something else.
Right. You just like blew our minds.
What would Lord Voldemort's Patronus be?
Because I don't know if he has any happiness in his life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And even all the evil stuff he does, we don't understand his motivation, but I don't think he's striving after happiness.
I think it would be excitement that they have rather than happiness. Like he gets, right. It seems like he's happy over certain things, but he's just happy when things go right for him.
Yeah.
And he's angry when things don't. But like, I think the happiness that takes to conjure a Patronus is like, again, I will love this. I will lavish this scene. I don't know the right word. I can't figure out the right word.
It's okay.
The scene in the movies where Harry goes, I thought of them, mom and dad. They were just talking to me, talking.
Yeah. Yep.
And he progresses to where it was like Quidditch, then winning the House Cup, then Hogwarts letter to that moment. And I think that was such a powerful moment of like, it was a deep lingering happiness. I didn't even know if it was real or not, but it was something that Voldemort does not have.
Yeah.
Maybe he could have it because maybe he could regret something in his life and like go back into that moment and really experience regret, which in turn would make him... So, like it's the inside movie Inside Out where you experience sadness through something and that like conjures up deeper joy in you, I think, and that like keeps you going. Maybe that kind of thing would be a moment of happiness where he could conjure it, but right now I don't think he could.
But could there be an opposite of a Patronus, like a evil one? So instead of it protecting you from evil, it does harm to someone.
This is a fascinating question, whether who can, if there's like certain kinds of magic that even Dumbledore could not do, like he could probably do anything, but he maybe that are, because he's a maybe more of a pure being, he could not do that Voldemort could do, and vice versa. Is there magic that Dumbledore can do that, Voldemort cannot
because
do?
He doesn't have,
I kind of think so, But I don't know if the Dark Mark falls into that. Part of me thinks it does, and that's why this is a little confusing, but.
The scene is painted really terrifying in this too. The colored lanterns that had lit the path to the stadium had been extinguished. Dark figures were blundering through the trees. Children were crying, anxious shouts and panicked voices were reverberating around them in the cold night air. Harry felt himself being pushed hither and thither by people whose faces he could not see. Then he heard Ron yell with pain. And then this is where we see good old Draco just chilling among the trees out there, just calm. Like, he has no worry in the world.
Yeah, because his dad's one of the hooded guys.
Yeah, which is one of my questions.
Hi, Dad.
He's got his omnioculars. He's slowing down his dad's actions over there.
Nice
cheering
job.
For him.
Oh, goodness.
Do you think Lucius is out there?
Yeah.
Nah.
No.
Why?
I just think of him as being too intelligent and... he's like the puppet master. I think of him as being a little distant. Like, he's come too close before to getting caught. He is on the radar. It's like a miracle he didn't already get sent to Azkaban. I think of him as being the guy in the background who manipulates people and gets them to do things. Kind of like Voldemort, I think, is manipulating people like Wormtail. I don't think he would risk it over this. With the general idea of, I don't think much was accomplished here. I think this was a diversion. And there are bigger, more important things going on that Lucius might have been involved in.
A diversion. But I don't think he was out here. Like what?
Well, that's what I don't know yet. But we don't know what Voldemort's plan is. Harry's scar didn't burn,
right?
So I don't think Voldemort is around casting the dark mark.
Mm.
I think Voldemort is off doing something else, and I wouldn't be surprised if Lucius
is drinking milk.
So do you think this is like beneath Lucius?
Well, yeah, kind of.
To like participate.
Unless we find out later that this was more important than than I think right now. But like, for example, part of me thinks a dark mark can only be conjured when there has been death. I don't know if the people in the Ministry of Magic know how to do the dark mark, but they think these kids did it, which seems bizarre. So part of me is thinking it actually takes something about murder to do the dark mark, which would make it a little restrictive. And we do, I'm believing the rumors that they were bringing some bodies
out. Yeah, so you actually think Lady Skeeter is right there.
I do kind of think something would happen there, but that would explain why this all happened. Because why did these people bring their masks? Mm. You know, did they get drunk? They're having some fun, toss some muggles in the air, wipe their brains afterwards, whatever, like they do on every Friday night out in Hogsmeade or whatever. You know, they're just like, is that normal? Or was this a calculated, planned thing? They brought those masks. They were sober. They were trying to stir up trouble, kill somebody or multiple people, cast the dark mark, kind of like signaling to all the Voldemort followers, like, it's going down.
But know. Then who did Here's they my, kill?
I don't know. Yeah.
Sorry. Was that the question?
That's a great question. Who did they kill? And then on top of that, Voldemort, do you think his followers know that he is in existence right now? Because if they don't, are they just doing this as a separate event, just kind of randomly?
I feel like they know. But could they?
If they knew, wouldn't they go... Help to milk him? Nagini?
How many Death Eaters does it take to milk a... It's just like...
How does he not they would get go to him. Killed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Milking it.
Gross.
I don't know.
That's an interesting one.
Well, maybe
though.
They need more information about something because Bertha Jorkins.
I love your names. I'm trying to figure out the names. It's like one of my greatest joys. Because you don't really know these names. Like when you read them for the first time, it doesn't stick with you. So you're like, I don't know what the heck, how to pronounce this one.
Yeah.
Hermione.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, the sad thing is I listened to the audiobook, but I still can't.
Right. It's your version, and we like it better.
It's just funny. What was it? I forgot. Since they got Wormtail got information from her, that was more important than Wormtail actually originally thought for Voldemort. So I wonder... Could it be another person that has information about some thing in their plan to get Harry Potter and take over the world?
Seriously.
Such a vague thing, but...
I feel like Bertha's information was related to the World Cup because she was on the games and whatever commission.
Oh, that's what So flashing back to, I forgot what I meant to bring this up earlier, but could it possibly be Crum, the Quidditch player that was a seeker because he wanted to finish the game fast to be done at a certain time to accomplish something afterwards?
Oh,
wow.
That's and a that would Never certainly explain why he caught the snitch at a weird moment.
And would do anything. Like, yeah.
That is so interesting.
I thought of that. I was dreaming of that, actually.
Dreaming about Harry Potter.
I was like, I forgot to mention this.
You do not know the joy that gives me right now. Oh my gosh. I get cast my Patronus right now.
Wow.
And it would be a fox?
Fox. That's so great. Dreaming in Harry Potter. Oh my gosh.
Oh no.
Huh. I kind of like the Crumb theory. For whatever reason, Crumb feels a little weird.
Yeah, he does.
Just because he's like a little awkward, a little bit cold. But I don't know if I can picture it.
Or he is an interesting dude. Like,
but I'm going to add him to my list of suspects.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I forgot where were we?
That's such a great one, though. Because so he, when they're in the forest, they're talking about, they meet these different French students, too. And
sorry. I got so excited because I understood the French when I was reading it.
Hey.
I was like, I know what this is. Yeah, at least the first sentence.
What'd they say?
Où est madame? What was her name?
Maxine.
That is, where is Madame Maxine? And then N-O-U-S, new, is we. Oh, no. Avant is to have. So nous l'avons, we have lost. I looked it up.
We've lost her.
So, and it
that's
was that.
So
da-da.
Cool.
That's awesome. Sorry. Oh, that is neat. I was like, I understand it. Anyway,
that's awesome.
On.
You should read the whole book in French.
No, I can't
wait,
do that.
Time out. If you read this in French, what would their, would they be English students?
That would be funny if they switched it like that. But I feel like they
that
couldn't.
Would be funny.
Yeah, I don't know what they would do there. They probably couldn't. Yeah.
It would still be.
We probably have pride
in the
there.
French version. Hogwarts is in France.
Yeah. The day I can read these books in French. Wow.
There's a really interesting video on Vox, by the way, of the Harry Potter and the Translator's Nightmare, which you got to watch after the fact because you can't get any spoilers, but how they translate different things. And even the English version versus the American version is very different for certain things. Mm. So it's kind of fun. It's just like fun little tidbits.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a school in France. Y'all got our French up. There's a school in France. How many magical schools do you think there are? We talked about this before.
Yeah, I think you did mention it. Like 7 or 9.
Yeah,
maybe?
There's like 7, 8, 9. There's like, I think 8 or 9 was kind of the consensus. But did we talk about this in the last one too? I think we might have mentioned this briefly, but there's large issues for just the magical world being as big as it is with only 9 magical schools. Like Hogwarts only has what, like 800 students?
Yeah.
And the magical world is full. So if they're graduating 150 students every year, the magical world should not be millions and millions of people.
I'm picturing like a lot bigger. A million people, maybe. A million wizards. I don't know why.
Did they always have to have schools? Couldn't they just have powers and then like the older generation just figured it out?
For years.
Mm. Yeah.
And then let's establish schools to really hone in on their talents.
I feel like a homeschool. I feel like there's a big homeschooling contingent right now going on. They're seeing you would die at Hogwarts if you went to Hogwarts. We're not sending you to Hogwarts.
Oh,
you know what happened last year? A basilisk was loose in the castle and petrified 5 students and a ghost and a cat. No way we're letting you to Hogwarts.
You
so
know
we're
what happened to Myrtle.
You. Yeah. Every right. normal parent, which is probably the majority of the wizarding world, hopefully they're not sending their kids to Hogwarts. Mm. Only the extravagant, weird ones are like, yeah, sure. Voldemort was just at school and the back of Quirrell's head. Yeah, we'll send you the next year, Jimmy. Go ahead.
Goodness gracious.
Ridiculous stuff. Then they come across Winky, and it says this: a rustling noise nearby made all 3 of them jump. Winky the house elf was fighting her way out of a clump of bushes nearby. She was moving in a most peculiar fashion, apparently with great difficulty, as it was as though someone invisible were trying to hold her back. Do you think Harry is right that Winky is just disobeying here? Because he mentions that later. He says it was like Dobby, when Dobby was disobeying his master, he was struggling to move. Or do you think Winky is cursed here? Or do you think something else is happening?
Two quick things before we get into it.
Yeah.
One, the French school. Is it called like Beautiful Stick? Beau-Baton?
I don't know.
A reference to Wands. Yeah. That's what I was kind of referencing or thinking it was referencing.
That's cool.
Like, nice.
I love that idea.
Nice stick. Wand. Boom.
Gosh.
So,
this podcast is moving to a different rating right now.
Class.
You should have not gone back.
Wait, as you're looking that up too, we have a question from one of our streamers right now. What do you guys think of how the ministry handled the entire situation at the Wizarding World Cup? Like, with the riot going on.
It is Beautiful Sticks.
No way.
That's so, Wand cool reference, maybe?
It's literally translated as Beautiful Sticks.
Hmm.
and French baguette is the word used for wand.
No way.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's cool.
So it's not a wand
reference. You're using your baguette?
Wow.
Oh, that's my.
That's
great.
That's so funny.
So I've mentioned this a lot in the past, but Hogwarts needs some kind of evacuation plans. How do you think the ministry is competent? Maybe that's the ultimate question.
No.
No, yes, you'd think they'd be a little more prepared since they like already went through a war, you know, have some kind of thing in place.
I mean, they just took for granted that Voldemort was gone. They're like, okay, let's be lax now.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Hmm.
But, yeah.
This person is even mentioning, like, the evacuation plans. Like, we've mentioned at Hogwarts how this snake is on school or Sirius Black comes in the castle, and they don't have this immediate thing with, like, their 20 port keys. Every student, jump, grab one. We're sending you home just for the night, just to, for safekeeping. And we've mentioned maybe Hogwarts is safer in the past, but, like, this is a sporting event that they have no evacuation plan at all. It's like it is a crucible for something bad to happen. Like, their people cannot leave until a certain time because they're poorer. So the poor people get there earlier and they're like, they're forced to be there. So like, we can do anything that we want there after the game. Everyone has to stay there overnight. They can't just leave the next day.
Yeah.
Or they can't just leave that night. Like, that is a recipe for disaster.
Yep.
Or if no the ministry plan. Is corrupt, was it done on purpose?
Ooh, so you do you think, that's so interesting. Who do you think?
I do think it's corrupt.
I mean, we are talking about corruption in the ministry because we don't believe Crouch and Bagman are actually, they're shady.
They're at least capable of this to some degree. Hmm. That makes more sense than thinking they're so incompetent. Oh, because the other thing I was going to say is about Hogwarts. I'm starting to think someone's wiping a few parents' minds, making certain things disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Basilisk things and whatever, memory charms. I don't think Dumbledore would, but the Ministry of Magic, keeping the school in good standings, I'm kind of thinking that's what they're doing every year.
They were to do that with Mr. Roberts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
sad.
I feel like maybe they're able to fix a lot of problems after they happen, so that's why they don't worry too much about security.
Mm.
But I'm kind of liking that idea that it was part of the plan not to have good security. Maybe the Death Eaters were the security team.
This is, they're 100%. There needs to be in some kind of other newspaper other than the Daily Prophet that is devoted to conspiracy theories. Like, I mean, this kind of is like ministry is kind of incompetent. That's what the Daily Prophet's main thing is. But there's got to be another one that's like the ministry did this entire thing. A bunch of conspiracy theorists out there in the wizarding world. It's like the 9/11 people who think the government did that. It's like you come and you're like, you know what?
The wizarding world.
Yeah, the whole escapade at the Wizarding World Cup was orchestrated by the Ministry of Magic because they were, you know, population control. I don't know, something ridiculous. Not population control, hopefully not that, but...
There goes your beautiful sticks.
Yeah. Because they only have a certain amount of beautiful sticks and they need to protect us. That's so funny. Going off on that, what do you think Bagman was actually doing in the woods?
Oh, also,
I'm derailing.
Yeah. I want to know it's the woods.
Oh my goodness!
Great segue sentence.
Wow.
guys, come on!
Every chat.
Anyway,
you guys should have asked that question.
You can't say there's old beautiful sticks in the woods. Bagman doing in the woods.
That's why I said going off on that question. What do you think he was doing with his beautiful sticks
PG
in the woods?
PG-13.
Oh my gosh.
Anymore.
That's so funny.
Gosh. Sorry.
Bagman, what was he doing in the woods?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Danny, what were you going to say before too with that?
Oh, I was going to say because I forgot to answer your question about Winky. And you asked if she's disobeying.
How far back?
Well, my mind's going a million places. Just don't use the cover.
That's the first question on the podcast.
It literally was. But then you were like, I think she was held back or whatever.
Yeah.
I think rather than Crouch telling her to stay in the tent and she was resisting, I think she was being controlled to go do something and she was resisting doing what she was being controlled to
do. Yes. Same. Ditto.
Nice.
could we Agman, agree on I don't something? Know.
And could it be? So there were, maybe this is a shot in the dark. I don't really think this theory is actually plausible, but there were bodies. You think that there were bodies that were carried out of the woods. You think the Rita Skeeter report is actually right. It looked like she was dragged by an invisible body. Do you think she was maybe dragging an invisible body behind her or something like that out of the woods?
She that strong?
She killed, maybe she really is that dark. She oh killed this my. Person,
she was dragged
the body out, and then cast Dark Mark.
No.
That would be ridiculous.
That would be interesting.
Danny likes it.
Well, I am just curious where the bodies came from, because I do believe there were bodies.
Yeah.
Were they dead? Not necessarily. They could have been stunned. This could have been other people that were from the Ministry of Magic finding other random people in the woods. They did almost stun three kids, innocent kids. So why not do that to the French girls or whoever else they found in the woods?
Mm.
This is a whole campsite of 100,000 people that's, well, at least a bunch of them scattered. So I'm sure the woods had some other people in there. Even though we know Ron, Harry, and Hermione were at the very edge of the clearing, they probably got to the woods first. But other people were in the woods. You know what I mean? So it might not be murder. They might just be other bodies.
So what do you think Bagman was actually doing in the woods? Back to that question.
I think he was casting a dark mark. Or at least scouting the area for someone else to do it.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, he was too flustered. Because wasn't he pale too?
Yeah, he seemed flustered. I forget how it worded, but it was... Yeah, it was...
It was definitely strange.
Yeah, but could he have just seen... who it was and was shocked at
but then why, didn't
why
he
wouldn't
say?
He sit sorry
great point. Maybe it's a relative of his true. Or something, I don't know, maybe he's trying to protect them,
so he's dark,
a teammate. Maybe it was Crumb and he's trying to protect Crumb because he really loves Crumb.
That lines up with you, Jen.
Yeah, so I like it.
He's a he is a shady character for sure. And then we get this description of the Dark Mark too here. For a split second, Harry thought it was another leprechaun formation. Then he realized that it was a colossal skull comprised of what looked like emerald stars with a serpent protruding from its mouth like a tongue. As they watched, it rose higher and higher, blazing in a haze of greenish smoke, etched against the black sky like a new constellation. Suddenly, all the woods around them erupted with screams. Harry didn't understand why, but the only possible cause was the sudden appearance of the skull, which had now risen high enough to illuminate the entire wood like some grisly neon sign. He scanned the darkness for the person who had conjured the skull, but he couldn't see anyone. What do you guys think of the Dark Mark?
It's creepy.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But now all I see is the illustration from the book.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Because I didn't really know how to picture it otherwise. Like, I can't. The way they described it, I just couldn't imagine what it really did look like. And I'm curious what it'll look like in the movie.
Yeah, movie does a good job with it, I think.
Yeah.
Do you feel like the Dark Mark is kind of like maybe like the swastika? Or is it maybe less used in the swastika? Not so much nationalism, but like extreme. It's more of like when you kill someone.
Yeah, I think of it being more like when you kill someone. But maybe not. Maybe there's a symbol, a logo. They put it on t-shirts.
Great branding, yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe the Death Eaters have their own.
I wonder if anybody would get the Dark Mark tattooed on their body. Because other people get the Lightning Bolt tattooed. I wonder if there's anybody out there with Dark Mark tattooed.
Whoa.
Really dark
people. I'm sure you can Google
that. Yeah, in real life, yeah. Probably.
Weirdos. Wow.
Somebody does, I'm sure.
See you,
Slytherins.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tony.
Tony, that's what that tattoo means. I've been wondering.
We do have another person who joined our subreddit who said, I'm the next Slytherin in other than Danny's roommate.
Wow, nice.
So we got another Slytherin in our subreddit. r/first-time-readers. It's a lot of fun, everyone. I'm telling you.
I'm glad all the houses are represented.
Oh, they all are represented?
I think we have pretty much full representation. The Slytherins are the hardest to come by, and we have two Slytherins so far. But I do want to say, if you haven't joined our subreddit, this is a small pitch for our subreddit. We have people who said, I'm never going to join that. And even when I listen to podcasts, I'm like, I'm never going to rate and review this podcast. I don't care. Just please do it. It helps a ton. And then with that, there are people who are like, I'm never going to join the subreddit. And they're in the subreddit right now. And we're all having a great time. Yeah. You yes. like it, right?
I'm one of them. Yes.
Yay. It's so much fun. Yeah. Even people fun. In this room. Danny and Jen, we can't get them on the subreddit yet.
Yeah, not
because we can't have spoilers, but... Yeah.
One day.
Eventually we'll get them on there.
One day we'll grow up.
Do you think Mr. Crouch is actually good at his job?
What's his job again?
Yeah.
His job is like international magical cooperation. So he kind
what
of...
What Percy did with the yeah, cauldrons.
I feel like it's almost the UN right. of the muggle world.
So what do they do?
They kind of work with other other... Yeah, that's a great question.
Well, all we know is the cauldron thing, but that kind of makes sense. He's like, we can't have the cauldrons from this country being this thick and some yeah. other country being whatever.
So you regulate
uniform
that.
Uniform cauldron.
Yeah, thickness. They just like have the meetings all the
yeah.
time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, 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 like the carpets. They're like, your carpets might work wherever, but we don't want them over here. Mm. Let's agree not to let them cross this border. Mm. I wonder what else they do. But it does
and
sound really
important.
That's
why it would be really bad if Winky... is performing a dark magic because he represents a ton of different
yeah and you have to respect the rules of the country that you go to too, so because it's in Great Britain they have to any incoming wizard has to respect those rules. Like I know that the World Cup this year is in Qatar or Qatar, however you say it, but they're lifting certain rules, but they're asking people to respect the rules that they have for certain things.
Mm. Oh,
so like there's heavy restrictions on drinking and all sorts of stuff that go on there. Yeah. So you can't do a lot of that if you're there, which I'm sure is the...
Yeah, reading that was very interesting, yeah. The rules.
It's the muggle equivalent or the wizarding equivalent to regulation and control of whatever people are doing who come into your country. So that's kind of what they're doing. Diggory finds the wand, though. He goes, here, look, Mr. Diggory held up a wand and showed it to Mr. Weasley. Had it in her hand. So that's a clause. So that's clause 3 of the Code of Wand Use Broken, for a start. No non-human creature is permitted to carry or use a wand. Do you think that's a good law? Where are wizards just... Are they being gatekeepers to wand lore? Should... Centaurs have wands? Should goblins have wands?
But maybe they don't need them.
To a great certain point. Degree, yeah.
Like, what does a wand do more powerful? Like, just more powerful spells?
I think so. Because that's the only reason to restrict it, right? It creates more power.
It kind of hones your skills. So there's all sorts of debate on some of this stuff. Anytime I get into nerddom, I just look over at Jen. She's
got... There's all sorts of debate about this stuff. Oh, okay.
You didn't even finish the sentence that time. You just like looked up.
But wand lore does hone your magical skills. Like wizards, before they have wands, they know they're wizards because they're able to do magic. Like Neville bounces up, so he's able to do magic. But the wand is like the real rifle point of the magic in you. You can like really use it with that wand. Yeah, direct it. Yeah, yeah. Hone it in. And there are, I think, the African school, I always forget its name, they specialize in non-wand magic, which is probably pretty rare. Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. But do you think other creatures should have wands?
Yeah, the right to bear arms.
Yeah, but then a lot go. Of these but what about how they make these wands? All these animals, like the unicorn. Well, I guess that one's just hair, but like the heart string of a dragon. Like, I feel like certain things would be extinct if every animal creature had a wand.
Do you think there's other wand cores other than those three?
Yeah.
Probably.
So those are the three that Ollivander uses. Do you think there's another one? And what do you think that other one would possibly be?
What is it? Phoenix feather.
Mm-hmm. Dragon heart
unicorn,
string and unicorn tail.
Tail.
Nailed it.
Oh my gosh, I'm turning into a nerd.
Yes. Oh honey, embrace
welcome.
It. You're there. I think you've been here for a little while now.
Nerds welcome. Someone just said this in our chat too. This is interesting. Do you guys know in Hinduism the swastika is a symbol of prosperity and good luck? You see it on many vehicles.
Really?
Is it the reverse swastika? Because I know that.
No, I think it's the regular swastika. Really?
What?
Yeah. Recently, I bought a World War II dagger, and it's German, and it has a swastika on it. Because that's what I do on Etsy, and I buy and sell things. And I am not allowed to sell that on Etsy because swastikas are not allowed. Unless it is a Hindu swastika, then it is allowed.
So you listed it as a Hindu swastika.
Yeah, I did not do that, but I'm going to have to probably cover it with something, a sticker. But it is interesting. Yeah, you're right. We've all got only negative associations with the swastika.
Well, yeah, because it's whatever that symbol, what's behind it. Like, yeah. It could be.
But I feel like the Hindu use of it supersedes, well, maybe not in prominence to the Western world, but it at least was around before.
Yeah, but now it doesn't really exist in people's minds.
Yeah, true.
Amos Diggory. Let's talk about Amos Diggory for a second. What do you think of his whole style of interrogation? Do you think he's good at his job? Do you think... what are your just general thoughts on Amos Diggory? And then Cedric Diggory, too. We talked about Cedric a little while ago, but how do you like them?
Well, Cedric seems like a stand-up guy. Yeah. Like, he wants to just, like, be the good guy or truth, like, wants to find the truth. When his dad was, like, bragging about him beating Harry Potter, he's like, no, remember, like, he fell off his broom. I don't know. Like, just... Mm-hmm. Trying to correct his father. And then his dad just seems like a, I guess it seems like a typical dad of like being stereotypical of like so proud of their son and brag about it. That he's like, can't do anything wrong. It's a, I don't know.
A little annoying, but fatherly, very fatherly. Typical dad.
I get, yeah. Sure.
Do you think he's good at his job? Just like Mr. Crouch. Maybe Mr. Crouch is good, but do you think Amos is pretty good at what he does too?
I kind of feel like they're all terrible at their job.
Ministry's just filled with incompetent people, yeah.
He felt very reactive. Like, I don't know how to explain that.
Like, he didn't think it through before. Yeah, like,
there's no
was...
set thing in place. It was just like, I he got flustered. And
yeah, that's a great point, a lot? Yeah.
It was like, let me just jump on this and like yell questions. It didn't feel
like he was processing.
Like, yeah. Like he didn't really process it, like you said.
And that kind of feels like the way the Ministry of Magic approached the whole situation. Like they didn't have a plan. They didn't know what to do if something went wrong. I'm thinking of like even stores like Walmart. Well, stores have the right to detain someone if they're caught stealing. And they have like something in place. If this happens and this happens, something escalates, they will hold people in back rooms and malls and whatever. It feels like the Ministry of Magic had no plan. They're like, something bad is going on. Let's just wing it. And then I don't like his interrogation style because the questions were just random. They've got like 20 people there.
Just and they're all just the kind of
like random people asking questions, throwing it out there. Grilling this person who has kind of no power. It felt like that should all be done in a separate location, and there should be like a non-biased group that is conducting these questions and interviews to kind of get the story straight.
Yeah,
but it didn't. It was sloppy.
Well, like those CIA agents. What are their names that we were talking about last time? They're like
the seekers.
Secret keepers.
No, yeah, it's like the Secret Keepers.
What were the wizards one, the that are unspeakable.
Oh, the unspeakable. Yeah. That's right. Yeah,
yeah, that one.
I'm like, yeah, Secret Keepers. that sounds good.
I thought you were talking about the SWAT team one or the Order of the Merlin and one of those other things. But
is that what you were?
Yeah, no.
But all of the above. Like, these are, you know, like
the
Untouchables, the unspeakables. Yeah, maybe they could do it.
Yeah, because we were talking about what they actually do. That's a fun one.
I just think they handled it very poorly.
Yeah. It felt like nobody had real power or control over the situation. It was just whoever talks the loudest.
Yeah.
And like took the control. But like, you know, I'm picturing those movies like a detective comes in or the FBI and says, this is our crime scene, you know, and they kind of like, they're the one in charge. They have the right to be there. Like, whose jurisdiction is this? I don't know. It feels like it's nobody's, so it's anybody's.
Yeah.
And that means it could just as easily go to the person who has the most information, the person who actually cast the, you know, dark mark.
Hmm.
They would be able to take that power just as easily as anyone else. So yeah, again, sloppy work.
Yeah, very sloppy. Again, they don't have real leadership there. Because I don't think Fudge is a very good leader.
Wait, where is Fudge? Was he here? He just didn't even talk at all.
Conjured it.
Yeah, you know, man. Because I feel like we haven't seen Fudge. Was he at the match?
He was in the box.
Right? Oh, right, right. Because
he had the he was dealing with the Bulgarian
minister.
Mm-hmm.
Pretended to not understand him,
miming.
Yeah.
Huh. But he is, he's kind of nowhere to be seen right now. So maybe he's kind of on the suspect list. Maybe he should be.
Hmm.
What do you guys think of the prior Incantado spell? Where you recall the last spell that a wand has done.
I think that's pretty neat.
That'd be great in real life.
So powerful. Right.
What did you just say? Well, what you said or did?
Both, maybe.
Yeah,
it's interesting. It was misused. It was a chance to bluff and they missed it because...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I think most wizards must know this is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if Voldemort is going to kill someone with his wand, I mean, maybe he doesn't care, but let's say someone who's, you know, trying to avoid suspicion, they kill someone with their wand and then they're just like, oh, let me just clear my browsing history on this one. Lumos, done.
Yeah.
So it just feels like you could just kind of avoid that by casting one more throwaway spell. And so in their interrogation, I guess Winky didn't know this, or someone just really wants Harry's wand to be the guilty wand.
Yeah.
But it feels like any wizard capable of the dark mark would know enough to throw another spell on top.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly. And it could be anyone in that box too, because anybody could have stolen Harry's wand out of there. So it could be anyone right there. Maybe Winky was actually the one who did it. Maybe Fudge. Maybe it's the Bulgarian Minister of Magic. Mm. You never know. Like, it could be any of these people. But there's just mass incompetence and corruption, it seems like, in this meeting in the woods. Because this is the next thing we'll talk about. We talked about this before, but how everyone is just okay with Crouch leaving with his own house elf to interrogate his house elf on his own.
Yep.
Clear violation of what there should be laws and rules against that.
And it goes against even what he said.
Yeah.
He said, if you're accusing my house elf, you're accusing me. And then he says, I'll go question the house elf.
Yeah.
He probably said that. We're like, oh, shoot.
Is this thing guilty or not?
Yeah, Amos should have called his bluff.
Go to jail.
Yeah. So we're accusing your house elf, so we're accusing you. So we're not going to let you go take your house
elf
home.
So we're going to let you both go free. Great. And that's why I feel like nobody should have been allowed to leave this.
Yeah.
Lock that crime scene down, and whoever has the authority should come in and boss people around.
Well, wasn't that kind of what the journalist, whatever her name was?
Rita Skeeter?
Yep. Thank you. She's kind of calling them out, though.
Mm.
Like,
true.
Exactly what we're saying.
I'm Team Rita.
Yeah. She's a good journalist.
I don't like her stance on vampires, but I like her in general.
You've met vampires.
No, maybe they're very unpleasant. And then I'll get back fully on Rita's side.
I mean, if it's Edward calling them, I guess.
Oh, so true. Cedric is a vampire.
So funny. That's where Cedric is his whole time. He's off in the woods doing vampire things.
All of Twilight is actually part of the Harry Potter universe.
It's just a subplot.
Oh, my goodness.
That's so great.
Wow.
Yes.
It all connects.
Yep.
Oh. That's funny because when he comes out of the woods, he goes, of course it's not him. He talks to everyone that's kind of just sitting there waiting, Mr. Weasley. He goes, of course it's not him, said Mr. Weasley impatiently. We don't know who it was, but it looks like they just disapparated. Now, excuse me, please. I want to get to bed. And he just goes to bed. Like, I'm sure Rita Skeeter's in the crowd somewhere. She's like, I need some kind of statement. And he does nothing to like calm their fears. Does nothing to like even calm his own wife's fears or his family's fears. He's like, I'm going to bed. We're going to bed. All of you guys get to bed too. There should be immediate port keys that get them out of there so they can send word to their families or something.
Yeah, they needed emergency port keys. But I also, because I was rereading again, but I felt like he was kind of looking after the kids. It was almost like they're in the woods. Mm. All this chaos is going on. The kids almost got whatever. They all took their
stuns.
Yeah.
And I feel like Arthur must have been like, oh my gosh, like, I sent them into the woods and now here they are. This is kind of my fault.
Yeah.
I felt like he almost just wanted to get them because it was almost, wasn't it like immediate where he was like, we need to go.
Yeah.
Right. It was kind of like in the middle of this high intense conversation. And then he was like, okay, that's it. We need to go. And he just took the three.
Yeah.
So I felt like, I don't know. I felt like he panicked and was like, I need to get them out of here.
Or he just like put his father hat on instead of the ministry magic.
Yeah, I felt like it was a switch like that.
That's a good point.
Kind of. And then just walking past everyone, he was like, I need to just get them to the tent, get them away from all the chaos that just happened. And then he just stayed in the tent.
Yeah, you think,
I mean, he should have maybe.
He was doing good fathering there. He was not doing good husbanding because he leaves poor Molly to freak out for the whole night.
Oh, I wonder if their grandfather clock says if they're dead.
Says mortal peril.
Oh, yeah, their clocks. That's right.
So, like, she kind of knew they were okay enough.
But no,
unless it says mortal peril on all of them.
The whole night, she's
in a way, you're
standing there knitting, and she's just looking at that the whole time. She's knitting her crocheting. She's like, it just says mortal peril. I don't know what to do. Oh, she wouldn't know what to do.
Wow.
She's not going to disapparate there. Or, oh, gosh. Terrifying for her.
What the clock considers mortal peril.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. There is a great line in this, too, which I think this is a fascinating subject. Where Ron doesn't even know what the heck the Dark Mark is. It's such an object to be feared that Ron doesn't even know what this thing is. And there's this great paragraph in here where he goes, I don't get it, said Ron, frowning. I mean, it's still only a shape in the sky. Ron, you know who and his followers sent the Dark Mark in the air whenever they killed, said Mr. Weasley. The terror it inspired. You have no idea. You're just too young. Just picture coming home and finding the Dark Mark hovering over your house and knowing what you're about to find inside. Mr. Weasley winced. Everyone's worst fear, the very worst. There was silence for a moment. Then Bill, removing the sheet from his arm to check his cut, said, well, it didn't help us tonight, whoever conjured it. It scared the Death Eaters away the moment they saw. They all disapparated before we'd got near enough to unmask any of them. We caught the Robertses before they hit the ground, though. They're having their memories modified right now. Death Eaters, said Harry. What are Death Eaters? It's what you-know-who supporters call themselves, said Bill. I think we saw what's left of them tonight. The ones who managed to keep themselves out of Azkaban, anyway. I just think it's so crazy how Ron doesn't even know what this thing is. It's only when you're old enough that you actually have a good understanding of what the Dark Mark is and any of that kind of stuff, that they actually keep it from the education of wizards, even within the home, to not tell people what the Dark Mark is, because it's such a terrifying object and it's an object you want to kind of erase from the history books. Yeah, I just thought that was an interesting one.
And it is mentioned in the book that Hermione read, The Rise and Fall of the Dark Arts. So it's findable.
Yeah.
But Ron doesn't read.
Well, yeah, he was Harry, apparently.
Because they're jocks, right?
Yeah. And to me, this is a good one where Hermione would know kind of what it is and Ron wouldn't, because it's got to be somewhere in a book rather than Mudblood, which the movie kind of botched because it made Hermione know what this thing is rather than Ron the one telling her. You know, like there's things that pass over that are kind of just cultural, like the word Mudblood versus the idea of a Dark Mark, which is dark that you just don't talk about. Hermione would know the dark stuff,
you're right,
but she wouldn't know the cultural stuff. So they did that line very well here. Anything else in this chapter? There's a lot here.
I'm kind of wondering if the Dark Mark can only be conjured with Voldemort's involvement. I'm not saying he did the conjuring, but like I'm thinking this meant more than like anyone could just do this. I think it means something deeper. Like it is saying to his followers, Voldemort's back, and it couldn't be a bluff. Because the Dark Mark is not possible without him.
Do you think it needs his like stamp of approval?
Maybe. And I don't know who could do it then, because I don't think he's here.
Right.
But yeah, maybe stamp of approval. Like he has to give people the power to do it. Like it has to be more than just like a firework in the sky that anyone can set off. In my mind, for it to be as threatening as it is, it has to mean he's back. For real. That's kind of what I'm thinking. But I, again, don't know who did it because everyone looks guilty. Bagman was in a weird spot. Crouch didn't show up to the match, even though he had one of the best seats in the whole place.
Yeah.
And sent his elf to save his seat.
Yeah, it definitely has some kind of air of seriousness to it, at the very least, where not everyone could probably conjure this.
Hmm.
Maybe it need, yeah, might need Voldemort's stamp of approval or something like that. On to chapter 10. And we pretty much talked about most of chapter 10's questions too, so we'll go over this probably pretty quick. Give me a summary of chapter 10, quick as you can. Mayhem at the ministry.
I vote one of you two.
Ah.
Sometimes the chapter names.
Theories are in my head right now.
Sometimes the names just give the summaries pretty well. It's mayhem at the ministry.
Yep. So true. Percy and Mr. Weasley are just working overtime. Yeah. I forgot it was Christmas, right? Oh, no.
I'm just reading
Mr. Roberts.
Sounds like it's Christmas.
Like, how could that be? That's when
school
starts.
They didn't go to school yet.
So yeah, I feel like they're just hanging out at the Burrow and everyone's stressful and they're talking about the Daily Prophet giving weird articles and we're learning about just a couple of random things going on in the world right now. And yeah, the ministry is scrambling.
Family's kind of getting together again, reading newspapers, articles, all that
Ron
kind of
gets
stuff.
His like...
Everyone's prepping for school.
Fancy cloak, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The hand-me-down.
That was a funny one.
With his lace.
Oh. I wonder what good dress robes would look like.
Harry Potter.
Yeah, I know. But like designer. I want to know like what they look like, how designer they look.
Whoa, designer.
You know?
Nice.
I love that it was like London, Paris, Hogsmeade. It's like really fashion.
Like, I don't think of those as brand equivalent. Yeah. But maybe they kind of are because London's Diagon Alley. And again, that's not like some fancy place.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
It's an alley.
Yeah.
So Paris probably also isn't that fancy.
What? Paris is always fancy.
But maybe it's in the catacombs. You know what I mean? It's like under the city. It's like this.
No.
That's what the catacombs are all about. And think of all the ghosts down there.
The catacombs are the Parisian equivalent of Diagon Alley.
Hmm.
I love
say
that.
You can get lost down
I'm
there.
I'm picturing like stiletto, high leather boots for all the wizards. Actually, witches. Sorry, not the
Beauxbatons
wizards.
Beauxbatons has the fashionable students. That's what they excel in. Wow.
You can notice them a mile away because of their style.
Yes.
There's funny lines in this too. This chapter starts out. I shouted at you before you left, Miss Weasley said, starting to sob. It's all I've been thinking about. What if you know who had got you? And the last thing I ever said to you was that you didn't get enough OWLs. Aww. Oh, Fred, George. I love that little moment there. Do you guys, this is a morbid question. Do you remember the last thing that you ever said to someone? I see this before. Maybe you had time still to think about it. Nothing. Not that we know too many people who died or anything like that. Which is another interesting question. Do you think that there's something like, there's something serious? Do you think that there, maybe this is the question I'll ask. Do you think that there's some things that there are some wizards can like experience and see and like perform certain kinds of magic because they've seen certain things? Like the Dark Mark, we're talking about how Voldemort, maybe you need Voldemort's stamp of approval. Maybe only people who have seen Voldemort can actually conjure this Dark Mark or something like that.
Mm.
Do you think there's other kinds of magic that exist in the wizarding world like that? Where, I mean, we were just talking about saying goodbye to someone and someone dying. Do you think like there's magic that happens if you've seen someone die or something like that?
I mean, yeah. If the Dark Mark was only thrown when people were killed, I feel like experiencing that, or maybe it can only be cast by the person who did the murder. We know that it... I was going to say we know that it can't be based on the wand committed murder. But then again, someone could have used Harry's wand to murder somebody and then cast the thing. I don't know. There's a lot of emotion to certain spells. And I feel like the extremes of what you've experienced influence emotions in pretty crazy ways.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then we just got another question on our stream too. I think it's a really good question. What do you think what do you think of the name Death Eater? Like, how do you like that name? What do you think it actually means?
Well, now that I saw the snake eating the skull, that's what I think of.
Yeah. Eating it's the like skull.
That's a great good branding. Death.
Maybe they all have the tattoos.
Sounds so vulgar. Death Eater.
It kind of reminds me of the Dementors, though, in a way. Like, right. They're
draining sucking the soul out of.
Hmm.
Maybe that's, again, back to that thing with Voldemort and his power. We don't really know, but I feel like him killing people gives him more power. So maybe all his followers want that power, too. They're like, cool, we kill people in Voldemort's name. And then we get to absorb some of their power.
Yeah, that's such a really crazy theory. Could a wizard and a Dementor have a kid? Because as we're talking, I'm just thinking.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, that's a romance novel right there.
Oh, I'm gonna cry. That's what so good.
I don't want to know how.
So wait. Then it goes with Death Eater.
Severus Snape.
Is he the product of that?
He's wearing that long black cloak. You're like, you know what? He kind of has a lot of death or a lot of Dementor qualities about him.
Oh my goodness. Oh,
yeah.
Half and half.
Oh my gosh. You don't want to kiss him?
Yeah. I can't look at a white Tesla now without thinking of him.
No. I feel like that's a car he would drive, though. Oh my gosh, that's so funny, Jen. I mean, there is slightly strange interbreeding in the wizarding world. I mean, like, what is Hagrid?
Oh shoot.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
What is Hagrid?
Part troll, yeah. Part wizard.
Maybe.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Another romance novel I wouldn't want to read.
You guys, this is our new fan fiction.
Yeah, for real. Oh my god,
that sounds.
We no longer talk about the books.
I mean,
that I am crying right now. That's so funny.
Wow.
Whoops.
That is so good. Anyway, the name Death Eater is just an interesting one. I always thought of this. To me, it's. I don't hate the name that much. As much as that sounds strange, there's like a positive spin and a negative spin on it.
No,
obviously not. But
you sound like Crouch. Sorry, keep going.
Obviously not.
There's just an aspect of it that I really like. I don't like death, so I don't mind the idea of eating death. Of like defeating death, you know? Whereas this is probably the negative spin of things where it's like these guys are killing people, so they call themselves the Death Eaters, where they're like better than death because they're the ones that are enacting death or something like that. Mm. But
so you're okay with them killing people so that they take
No, not at all. I'm saying I like the name. I think it's good branding because the idea of someone defeating death. Not being like the conqueror over death or anything like that, or being the conqueror over death because they're killing people. I just think it's good branding. I just think it's an interesting choice for that. Anyway, all that to say, back to the other question.
Maybe that's what you meant.
Maybe Death Eaters are really good. The good people in this story. You never know. Maybe at the end she's going to reveal it. The Death Eaters are right all along.
Mm-hmm.
Killing all of them.
Probably not. Yeah, probably not. But.
Well.
I do remember going back to this initial question saying, I love you to my grandpa. It was the last thing I ever said to him because we were driving to the hospital. He was like, we knew he was going to go to the hospital and he was probably going to pass away there because he wasn't doing very good. So I drove with him. I had to drop him off and I remember saying, hey, grandpa, I love you. And he goes, I love you. And that's kind of what I remember. That was like really meaningful for me. But yeah, that's a tough thing to.
Yeah. I don't think I remember.
Think through, yeah.
Like the last thing that I said to my grandparents.
Cause unless it's you for sure know that it's going to happen within the next day. You don't really remember because you kind of, sometimes you just take those days for granted or they just blend together. Yeah. It's tough. Anyway, general thoughts on Rita Skeeter. We know Danny is a big Rita Skeeter fan.
Yeah.
I didn't like her just because I was defending Arthur.
Hmm.
His reaction, I guess, I went off of. And I was like, no, I love Arthur.
Yeah,
get
I know.
Out of here, Rita.
That's reasonable.
He's like our litmus test.
I mean, you're kind of changing my view. Like, she might be right, but whatever. I still don't like her.
Pretty sure I convinced Danny to be on that team.
Team Rita?
Oh, then good job, Jen. Then yeah. You nice, changed Jen. My perspective.
You're a big Rita Skeeter fan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think she, because I was saying the journalists always find the truth in things, even yeah. if it's a little skewed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It does have truth to it.
Yeah.
She's keeping them accountable.
And the thing she yep. said about Bill Weasley, was
yeah.
it Bill?
Yeah, yeah.
With the long
yeah.
hair.
Like, she was just
he does
stating
have long
facts.
Hair. Yeah. He does yeah. need a haircut.
He does need a haircut.
She's just out here speaking truth.
I need a haircut. Someone, one of my friends said it looks like I have a mullet now. So I really need to get a haircut because it's getting too long.
Make sure you get a shot.
I know. Everyone, can you see it?
What do you think, Georgia?
I'm going to be like Hermione. Is that really like what my hair looks like from the back? Yes. Yes. And then let's go over this before we kind of talk about the summary of this chapter and what we like in it. I just want to talk about this. What do you think is each of the main characters' desires? We'll go through a few of them because I think it's pretty significant. Like whenever people say you want to write a novel, you always have to know what your characters desire and what they want. So what do you think? Let's do like a, maybe not a rapid fire, but somewhat rapid fire. What do you think Mrs. Weasley's biggest desire is? Like her main driving force?
That her kids are all together and happy or that they, yeah, taken care of and happy family.
Yeah.
She's a great mom in that way. I feel like you nailed it. I was going to say keep her kids safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think Carrie's her adopted kid, which is beautiful.
Mm.
What about Mr. Weasley? Having fun?
Yeah.
This might sound weird, but sometimes I feel like his biggest desire is balancing out Mrs. Weasley. She's so concerned about keeping them safe that he's like, let's bring a little levity and a little fun to their life too. You don't have to keep all of them
very
under one roof, you know?
Yeah,
maybe not his like biggest that. Desire, but I think his biggest desire is maybe for his kids to become competent wizards and witches in a way that's different from Mrs. Weasley desires that.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's almost in a like a provider way, in his own way.
Yeah,
of guiding the kids.
Yeah,
yeah,
that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about what do you think? We'll go through the trio. What do you think Hermione's main desire is? What is driving her?
Her moral compass of what's right and wrong.
Yeah.
That is a great one. I love that. I think she, more than any other character, has a sense of justice. I don't think Ron does. I don't think Harry probably does, too. But I think Hermione's is probably the best.
Yeah, she's not afraid to stand up.
Oh, no.
Like, to go against the flow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because even when she says that to Ron,
whatever
it was.
About the house elves.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's quick to defend what is right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering about her, like, her perfectionist ways, though. Like, what motivation is it that is fueling her doing so well in school? Like, does she want to do something specific with her career? Is it just she wants to do the best possible job that she can? Like,
I feel
her
like
goal is to just be the best she can be.
Mm.
Cheesy, but
yeah, but she comes from like Muggle parents, so I feel like she's kind of overcompensating. Like, I'm gonna prove to be the perfect witch because my parents, like, and then the mudblood thing. Like, I feel like that probably played into it. Like, I'm gonna show you.
And maybe,
I'm gonna know everything about everything.
Yeah, like she feels like she's representing more than just herself a little bit. She's like, all right, well, I know that I can be good at this, so I want all wizards to know that people born to Muggle parents can still be incredible wizards.
Yeah.
And it looks like she's projecting that into everyone else, like with the house elves and stuff. It's like everyone.
I think it's neat though, because it's a different perspective, right? Like, because Ron is like so used to all these creatures.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the house elves, and she's like, wait, that's not right to have a house elf. They don't get paid. Like, and he didn't even think of that.
Yep.
Right.
So
there's definitely an interesting note that all of the non-wizarding familied people in this book turn out to be kind of stronger characters than the other. Hermione, who comes from Muggle parents, Voldemort, who is an orphan, and then Harry, who doesn't really know his parents. They come from rougher backgrounds, and they're the ones kind of trying to prove themselves in different ways. What do you think Voldemort's main driving desire is?
Power. power.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like that's the best one. He wants to be powerful.
Pride.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Pat himself on the back. How about Ron?
I feel like he's like a little Arthur Jr.
yeah, for real. He kind of is. I think that's a good way to put it. Yeah. I think his driving desires too are. We talked about Steven with the Mirror of Erised, but to be separate and distinct from his brothers. I also think there is a tone that he wants to make money. He's sick of being poor. You get in this chapter.
Oh, this chapter, yeah.
Yeah.
He gets, why is everything going wrong with my stuff, right?
Something. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Why does everything I have crap?
Cute little dress robes.
Yeah, I know. Poor Ron having to put those
on.
And
then his owl, right? Is that what pig wooden?
Yeah. His owl sucks. The family has Errol, who also needs to be retired.
Yeah.
What do you think Harry's driving desire is?
I feel like it gets like slowly shifting. Like, I feel like he's like pretty close to becoming Voldemort, where it's like, I am very powerful. Hmm. Everyone knows it. I'm supposed to represent like good. I don't know. It just seems like he could totally take that turn into the dark direction.
He is on a tightrope right now. He could definitely take the turn. That's why he was almost sorted into Slytherin, because of that.
And then if he didn't have Ron and Hermione, maybe.
Yeah,
that would be the key. But then yeah, there's Dumbledore, so I feel like he would have steered him too.
But there's something about someone your age as well helping guide.
Yeah,
I feel like that can sometimes be a bigger influence, even if he doesn't realize it.
You can rebel against Dumbledore because it's authoritative.
So I feel like Harry's desire in the mirror was for his family, but it feels bizarre because it's not attainable, and I think he knows it.
Mm.
So it's just the idea of a family. So I feel like maybe the Weasleys are fulfilling that in some ways. So as they're fulfilling that like really deep down desire, I'm wondering like, what's the next thing that he really wants? Does he want to be a powerful wizard?
Shifting.
Yeah.
Does he?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, does he want to live up to his name? Or does he just want peace and quiet and doesn't want all this like focus on him and attention?
He's really doing that.
Yeah, true.
He
just can't avoid it.
He is being influenced by his friends. I think we talked about that. I think Ron and Hermione are the best two possible people that popped up in his life at the right moment. Like he became friends with the right people. And it's a huge indication of how much your friends can have an influence on you, where Ron has this incredible family and that's he really wants what Ron has. And then right now, maybe he's going to be more swayed by Hermione with his sense of justice. Like he's probably he has the Weasleys now. That's like his tight knit family. So maybe his desire has moved on to something else, which is what he's picking up from Hermione, which is the sense of justice, the sense of right and wrong, which is why he's teetering on this so much, because he's not exactly sure what that is and what that looks like. And he's not sure what I think he has a very clear sense of what is right and wrong, but sometimes his power could get in the way where maybe he would be swayed to one side or the other, where he's like, I can become incredibly powerful and become a better version of Voldemort. So that's in his head, but he can also say, you know what? I'm going to follow along this better path and not do that and be kind and compassionate and loving. So anything in this chapter and these things that ran by your guys' attention?
It feels weird that Harry still doesn't trust. I'm glad he told Ron and Hermione about the scar burning 3 days earlier. That's a good start. But then he didn't tell them that he was the potential future victim that they were plotting to kill. Yeah. So again, he's like keeping things in. And I just want to see him be fully open. So I actually feel like this is growth, but he's just not all the way there yet.
Yeah. Yeah. We love that he is growing, but sometimes his growth is slow, sometimes it's fast, which is like any other normal person. All right, who is your guy's favorite character in these two chapters?
I don't know, Hermione, I guess.
Yeah.
Did I pick her last time?
Yeah, I'm going to agree.
Yeah, she's great.
Girl power.
Yep. Yeah. You got to.
She's good in these chapters.
She's standing up for the house elves. She's She's kind of, yeah, she's pointing people in the right direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what was your favorite moment in these chapters, these two?
Oh, we did talk about that funny comment in the last chapter 10, where Mrs. Weasley's like, oh, if you catch Ron naked or something, yeah, make sure
to take a picture.
That was really funny.
We'll end with this line. This is good. I'm never wearing them, said Ron. Ron was saying stubbornly, never. Fine, snapped Mrs. Weasley. Go naked. And Harry, make sure you get a picture of him. Goodness knows I could do with a laugh.
I love that.
That was so good.
That was such a great moment.
I loved this moment, though, where they were, it's kind of boring, but they're all at the Burrow, and they're just, it says, the rain lashed against the living room window. Hermione was immersed in the standard book of spells. And they were all just kind of like doing their own thing.
Mm.
I just love that moment of after the chaos. They were all just chill in the house. Yeah.
The calm and together.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that part.
Oh, there's nothing like being in a room full of people all just consumed with their own thing. And every once in a while you get up and say something and talk, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you don't feel like you have the need to talk.
Yeah. Everyone just be quiet.
Yeah. Love that. Us introverts love that.
I feel like my favorite moment was probably early on in the World Cup stuff when they first got to the tent city, hanging out, meeting people,
yeah,
rekindling old friendships.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that was all fun. Matches, magical tents.
Yeah. These are such good chapters. So magical, you know?
Yeah. Big time magical.
Didn't. Anyway, thanks for joining us on our journey of Harry Potter and the First Time Readers.
You're not the comedian.
What?
Oh, my.
I'll do it for you next time. Anytime you come up with a joke, I need a sound effect. Doom.
Yeah. Yeah. Ready on your phone.
Laugh track or something.
Yeah. Anytime Jen says something, I'm going to play a laugh track on my computer. There's a million people laughing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love it.